I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We will read verses 16 through 23. I know originally I had listed 22. Any children grades 3 and under that would like to go to children's church may do so at this time. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 843. Matthew 10. 16 through 23. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear testimony before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you up, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Key word in this passage, I think, is in verse 22. And that is the word endures. Endures. Endurance. What do you think of when we say endurance? Well, for some, it means to train to withstand grueling athletic endeavors and competitions, right? To others, endurance means staying the course, even when things seem untenable. For some, endurance means to outlast a difficulty or a hardship. And sometimes we wonder if we're ever going to be able to endure when those run on and on and on. For many, endurance means to endure a particular period of time and then once it's over, just forget about it and move on. However, for many folks in our world, especially in foreign countries where persecution is rampant. That means dealing with persecution, finding ways to get through. And while we don't have that level of persecution in our country, many do in other lands. However, we do have persecutions that take place. Even within our own country, do we not? In a lot of different areas, socially and even in religion. And we have those persecutions that come our way, which we are called to endure. The sarcastic remark made by someone about Christians. The sly grin and wink. The occasional outright laughter and caricature of Christians in particular, which are not only unflattering, but sometimes downright hostile. Many times filled with vitriol. And though sometimes we actually deserve some of what we get because of the ways we treat other folks, because of how we conduct ourselves, we very often hide when we think there might be a question raised, a statement made, or sometimes when that really strange joke about Christians makes us want to say something, but we're afraid, so we look for an exit from the room. Of course, then again, sometimes we persecute. We speak harshly to others who do not share our view, even other Christians. I recently had a student to approach me and ask a few questions and said that his father, who is Christian, doesn't like the way he believes because he's Christian and does everything he can to try and run him down and convince him that he's wrong at every turn. Sometimes we act like we're the only ones who have gotten that ticket to get on the train. And sometimes when we get that ticket, we think that's all we have to do. I thought about breaking into Curtis Mayfield and the impressions people get ready, there's a trainer coming, but decided against it. But what do we do when persecutions come? And lest we think that they won't come our way, it seems these days that more and more people find that we are fair game for whatever they might think. Regardless of whatever political party or none to which they belong. So what do we do when things get tough? What do we do when, quote, the vitriol hits the fan? Well, this particular passage was probably spoken by Jesus about the time the vitriol was really hitting the fan concerning his teachings. And it was meant most likely not just for his 12 disciples, but I think for all who were around that were following him, especially those who were following him rather closely. And yet, this was not just a word for the time in which he lived. I think it is a word for you and me and everyone today who would seek to follow Jesus in a world that is in turmoil, in a world that is in great need, in a world that thinks, among other things, that truth just happens to be what it is for me at the particular moment that I need it and can change regularly. I've had those conversations a lot recently. In fact, just this morning mentioned across the way, we were talking about some folks as I stepped in were talking about different thoughts, etc. I said, well, you know, what's really strange today is those folks who say that there is no absolute objective truth are really making a statement of absolute truth, right? And yet that doesn't hit them. But many of those folks, for them, absolute truth just depends on where they are at the particular point in time. So what do we do when those things happen? Well, the author here wants us to remember that Jesus said Christians should expect to face times of persecution. And not just between denominations, and not even just between governments. In fact, the average Christian was expected to live the same moral qualities as Jesus, and as he passed on to the 12, and Jesus says here, sometimes that will upset folks, even your own family members. Even your own family members. Think about it. The family member who pokes fun at you because you go to church, because you are a Christian. The coworker who tells you that, you know, anybody that believes that stuff's just downright crazy. A society that's more hostile to Christian beliefs, so you just keep quiet and try to muddle along. Or you could add any number of other situations in which you may have found yourself where you felt like, you know, that might be a little bit of persecution. Jesus speaks these words and this opening proverb as his teaching is gathering more and more criticism. And he gives not only his disciples, but he gives you and me. He gives the church some statements not only of realism, there will be times of persecution, but also instructions as to how to face it. Jesus says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus recognized that just as there have been people throughout history who opposed God and opposed the things of God, The Hebrew Scriptures are filled with that. History is filled with that. And unfortunately, sometimes history is filled with times when Christians persecuted others, even other Christians. But Jesus says, I send you out as sheep in the middle of wolves. There are all kinds of things out here and all types of people out here who will seek to destroy you, to take away that which you seem to have that perhaps they don't. Who do not wish to have anyone or anything to whom they're accountable other than themselves. They're like wolves. So what should you do? Well, the rabbis taught that Jews should be like doves. This is a rabbinic saying. You should be like doves to Israel and poisonous serpents to Gentiles. On the way here this morning, this isn't written down here, just kind of interesting how things come around sometimes. I was listening to the radio, and just before I got here, the theme song from the movie Live and Let Die, the James Bond movie Live and Let Die, was on. You know, it says, and of course, you know, used to say live and let live. But in this ever-changing world in which we live in, you know, don't give it a try. Just live and let die. In other words, strike back. Or sometimes strike first. I enjoyed the movie, but I thought that was interesting. The song rolls along just before I get here when we're thinking about persecution and Jesus saying, not like the rabbis, which when it comes to Israel, live and let live, it comes to the Gentiles, live and let die. But rather Jesus says, be wise as serpents, shrewd. Shrewd. But innocent as doves, even to those who persecute you. You know, Jesus gives us hard teachings. A lot of times we don't like to pick out the ones that seem easy or seem to make us feel good because we're doing them, or we think we are, but Jesus gives us hard teachings, and this is one of those. When someone rises up against you, when someone strikes out and hurts you, especially when they're feeling uncomfortable because of things you might believe or things going on in life, and they decide, well, I'm going to strike out and make somebody else feel badly, Jesus says, don't retaliate with the same stuff, like the rabbi said. Don't only like those who had the good taste to like you first and fight those who do not like you. But rather, he says, act as doves with a sense of peace. Be prudent in how you handle a persecution. And we know earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. That's hard. I don't want to do that sometimes. That's hard. And yet here Jesus says persecution will come. Whether it's outright, we're going to hang you up by your toenails and swing sticks at you, or whether we're just going to gouge every now and then with a little statement that eats at you inside. Jesus says, first of all, persecution will come. Because there have always been people who didn't like what God was doing. Secondly, to handle it, be prudent. You know, snakes don't just like to run out and say, here I am, do they? They kind of want to hide in the shadows, and they strike if you get too close. Be prudent, be shrewd. Don't put yourself out there inviting persecution, but when it comes, be like doves. Well, how can you do that? Only with the peace of God within our hearts. And even then, it's hard sometimes, is it not? He says, councils will come after you. Those were, we had the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, but those were local councils that functioned for lesser offenses, though sometimes they would send people to Jerusalem. Councils won't like you. Synagogues will not like you. You know, persecution often begins at the local level, does it not? At the familial level sometimes. Governors and kings, like Pontius Pilate, like Caesar, will not like you. And in fact, you will sometimes find yourself at odds. Sometimes they were carried into courts. We know that Paul eventually appealed to Rome, so he wasn't killed in Jerusalem. And he stands before the Roman officials in Rome. But he says, you know, you're going to find these things. Governments will not agree. Governors will not agree. Other religious folks will not agree. But you are called not to strike back. He says, you will be brought before them to bear witness. To testify. To testify. You go out as defenseless lambs, or so it seems. But you're going out equipped with the Spirit of God. So do not fear those who persecute. He also says that we face persecution. When we face it, we should do so with trust. Not trust in our own selves, but rather trust in God. When our courage fails, remember that God supplies if we truly trust Him. Remember that our testimony of witness is by word and by deed. And when we stand fast, we proclaim the good news of the kingdom, even for those who are seeking to squash it. The hope is so that they too might someday come to that realization. The early martyr in the church, Polycarp, as he was being murdered in front of a crowd, and the hostile crowd was screaming at him to recant his position as Christian, said, and I quote, 86 years have I been his servant, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme the King who saved me? End of quote. He remembered God, and he was faith-filled, and therefore faithful. Also, this trust and endurance will save those who continue to bear witness, who continue to be light and salt to a world that is filled with darkness. It saves us from cowardice. It saves us from inner chaos. It saves us from trust in ourselves. If we read on, we find that remembering Christ and His suffering for us helps to bolster that faith in times of persecution. And we're told by Him that we are to be like Him. And once we're in those situations, we give our faith-filled witness, and then we move on. When He says here, if you are in one city and town and you're persecuted, go to another one. For there will be plenty of places for you to go before the Son of Man returns. Some people say, oh, that means that we get to run to a city of refuge and be nice and peaceful and find us a commune somewhere where people like us. However, I think what Jesus is saying is that there will be plenty of places for us to continue to go to witness. Plenty of places for us to continue to go to reach out to those who are lost. In fact, as much as we would want to say, let's run and hide, which we sometimes do, let's run and hide and keep ourselves safe, it's not about me. It's about those who would persecute me. It's about the lost. The well-being of the lost is more important than my own. And that goes countercultural, does it not? But Jesus Himself came, He said, to seek and to save not those that followed Him closely, but rather to seek and to save those who were lost. To reach them and to seek to make disciples of them. In handling persecution, with trust, with a faith-filled life. Whether it's someone who is threatening our lives or someone who is just needling and trying to get under our skin, once again, we are called to reach out to them, to seek to make disciples. And it is only we who live those kinds of lives, who endure to the end, Jesus said, who will be saved. It's not just about walking down an aisle one time and getting that ticket to ride. It's about living lives of worship, even when persecuted. It's about reaching out to others, even who make fun of us, for what we believe. It's not about, as some denominations say, the preservation of the saints. It's about the perseverance. And when we endure to the end, Christ will preserve us as His followers. He will preserve us to the end. He will help us as we worship regularly and as we prepare. And when we face those times of persecution, however great or small they may seem to be, it is He who will stand and give us that which we need to endure to the end. Hard sayings, even harder to do, but they are life-giving. May we pray. Gracious God, help us. Help us when we face times where we just want to give up, or to turn and walk away, or to say, well, whatever you think, but help us to be filled with peace that comes only from You. And give us the words and the actions that help us not only to continue to be filled with faith, but to live faith-filled lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 483. The Savior is waiting. Most of the time when we sing that, the Savior is waiting, it's an invitational hymn. And sometimes we sing it over and over and over until someone comes so He can stop waiting, right? But I think more times than not, the Savior is waiting for us to answer Him day after day in faith-filled living. Hymn number 483, the Savior is waiting.